The light of compassion that grasps us illumines and protects us always. The darkness of our ignorance is already broken through. Still, the clouds and mists of greed and desire, anger and hatred, cover as always a sky of true and real and trusting. Good morning and welcome to the White Way. I just quoted from Shinran Shonin in the Shoshin Nembutsuge. Here, Shinran Shonin tries to express to us that Amida's vow is unconditional and therefore is always grasping us. Therefore, he says or expresses this thought by saying, the light of compassion that grasps us, illumines and protects us always. Amida always embraces us, never forsakes, and will be always there in some form, any place, anywhere. The darkness of our ignorance is already broken through, and therefore, because the vows were made and fulfilled to embrace us unconditionally, our ignorance, that which holds us from understanding what is true and real, is already been taken care of. And yet, he continues by saying, still the clouds and mists of greed and desire, anger and hatred, cover as always the sky of true and real, Shinjin. And even if the vow was made and fulfilled to embrace us unconditionally, we as human beings have problems. We have challenges trying to understand it. And yet we still desire to cling on to various things. And in this case, greed and desire, anger and hatred, all these things prevent us or somehow detain us from understanding the true and real and trusting, which is not only ours, or we like to believe, but is also the belief of the Buddha who made these vows to embrace you and me. How truly grateful we are to know that there's such a compassionate Buddha. Since my wife and I moved to Honolulu, it's already been, or will be very shortly, 2 years. How quickly time passed. And although we often think about home, we now have come to realize that Oahu, Honolulu, is our home now. And within the past 2 years, we've kind of formed a habit or a custom where we like to go up to Manoa to drink coffee and enjoy a pastry for breakfast. There's a favorite pastry shop that we enjoy going to, and then we would buy our coffee and sit and look at the clouds and enjoy the, the greenery of Manoa Valley. Since being here, we've met some individuals who go there almost every morning, and we become friends. So we will sit down several times a week to talk about what goes on in the world. And because the group is primarily made out of males, we talk about sports, of course, what goes on, politics, etc., etc. But quite often, a very interesting or very popular subject comes about. And for people in Hawaii, perhaps we can relate to this as the Vegas experience. And it's interesting because quite often when somebody says, you know, I'm going to go Vegas pretty soon or Vegas is coming up, right away they'll say, well, you better not do anything negative because that would create bad karma. In this case, of course, the good karma would be winning the lottery. And quite often we joke about the megabucks that someone's going to bring home and how that person's going to treat us to Vegas on a trip. But then everything is hush-hush. Don't talk about anything negative. Don't even talk about Vegas because, again, it will cause negative karma. And it's interesting to note that this group is made up of mixed individuals from different ethnicities and, of course, religious backgrounds. In fact, one of the members is a devout Catholic and goes to Catholic prayer every morning, every morning. And then he comes to join us for coffee. But even he, too, uses the word karma. So it's very interesting. And we have one or two Buddhists, but again, it seems that there's a definite misunderstanding of what karma is and how we use it. But again, it's interesting to see how we have incorporated this concept into our lives. I think quite often, the most common, refer to this word is the concept of bachi. And here, in the book Ocean, written by Reverend Professor Ken Tanaka, he begins a subject where someone asks him, why did my friend's uncle recently die from a long illness? He was a good person. He was very young. He never smoked in his life. And yet, he passed away. What did he do wrong? And here, I think Tanaka Sensei tries to say that, you know, because again, going back to what we most refer to as a concept of bachi, that this was not bachi or something that was the wrath of the Buddha or something like that, But he clarifies by saying that there are three kinds of karma, three kinds of causes and effects. The first is the objective conditions, the second is the personal karma, and third, the Buddha's karma. I cannot honestly say that I understand all, but he says, and I quote, "In this case, objective conditions point to myriad circumstances that contributed to the illness even though he never smoked in his life. This could include a genetic predisposition to the disease." We often refer to it as genetics or DNA. His exposure in the past to some kind of carcinogenic chemical, his eating habits, and his stressful lifestyle. But there are numerous other possible contributions. The specific contributing causes usually can seldom be accurately isolated. Again, even Tanaka-sensei said this is not something easy to express. But then he's trying to get away from the fact that this person didn't die because he did something terrible in his life. And so he tries to explain perhaps that again through what kind of lifestyle did this person have. Because all these factors contribute to later on when we get to be seniors, etc., etc., and perhaps what may be our final fate. But I think what he also wanted us to realize was that because everything is based upon causes and conditions, the concept of the Buddha's cause or the Buddha's karma, as we often refer to, is the fact that there was a person or something referred to as Bodhisattva Dhammakara who woke up to his purpose, again this being the cause, and the conditions are, I want to do something for the salvation, for the sake of embracing all beings. And it's a constant continuation of causes and conditions. So the cause, condition, that condition turns to a cause which also creates a condition and on and on and on. So by perhaps Shakyamuni was trying to say that if this is true, and this is true, that we need to understand what goes on in our lives by using the example of Bodhisattva waking up to his purpose and was able to find himself through understanding the various negative causes and conditions of all forms of life, not only his own, but for ours. And therefore, the condition was being able to make vows, 48 vows, by which it would embrace us unconditionally. Again, cause and effect. But I think one concept that is often referred to but not necessarily explained all the time is taking responsibility for the things that go on in our lives. Yes, the Buddha's vows were meant to unconditionally embrace each and every one of us, to give us deep sense of hope, knowing that we're not alone, the sense of being embraced, and then there is something out there that loves each and every one of us and desires for us to live a meaningful life. But unless we wake up to these various causes, we cannot truly feel the consequences or the conditions of what goes on by opening up our hearts and minds. And just for clarification, the word karma means action. And every moment in our lives, we are creating some kind of action, some kind of karma. And these, specifically in the Buddhist tradition, are caused by our bodily action. For example, showing a fist as if to hit or punch someone versus opening your arms out to say, in a form of embrace, to say how much I love you. Or even the words that we say or how they're expressed. How we may use even the most beautiful word that we know of as love, how it is expressed or how it's used can often refer, can become something negative or positive as well. And of course, how we think is a third condition for creating some kind of karma, cause and effect. And Shakyamuni himself in his writings or his ministry had said many, many times that we ourselves are again the cause and conditions for everything that goes on in our lives, and how we think and how we do and how different things that we execute ourselves indeed determines what our life situation will be. He didn't necessarily say basically that it's going to lead up to something that's terrible, but again, I wanted to get away from that concept of bachi again. But I think what he wanted us to understand that from the spiritual aspect of the word karma, if we can understand or something about why Bodhisattva Dhammakara made those vows to embrace us unconditionally, then these causes and conditions will lead to something very wonderful, joy in our lives. But it really comes down to waking up to these various things and being able to understand them. But as Shinran had said, even if these vows were made to embrace us unconditionally, because we have doubt, because we have a hard time understanding them, they become difficulties. But ultimately, there will be great joy. So how grateful we are for these wonderful things that go on in our lives. And although there may be misconceptions, the joy of living, even if we cannot truly understand the embrace of the Buddha. Namo Amida Butsu. Oh.